Today is the Sunday after Ascension, Sunday within the octave of the Ascension. Today is Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day to all the mothers. There will be blessings of articles after Mass today at the communion rail. There will be benediction of the Blessed Sacrament this evening at 6 p.m. Please remain after Mass today. Our Father Superior has an important announcement for you to hear. Next Sunday, that's May 15th, Mass time will be changed. There will be a solemn Mass at 9 a.m., no Mass at 8. Don't forget. Solemn Mass next Sunday, 9 a.m. And next Sunday there will be solemn benediction of the Blessed Sacrament at 6 p.m. Also, don't forget we are praying our novena during these days. Remember, this is the time of the first novena, which means nine. And that's because the apostles and Blessed Mother and the disciples prayed from the time that Christ ascended into heaven until Pentecost Sunday, 9 days later. So they prayed for 9 days, and that's where we get novenas. That was the first novena. We are praying our novena now. We hope all of you are praying your novena with us. There are some beautiful feasts this week, which we will not mention all of them to you now. Wednesday, of course, a second-class feast, Feast of Saints Philip and James, the Apostles. Don't forget to stay after Mass today for our Father Superior. The epistle for this Sunday is taken from the first epistle of St. Peter. Beloved, be prudent and watchful in prayers, but above all things, have a constant mutual charity among yourselves, for charity covers a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without murmuring. According to the gift that each has received, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If anyone speaks, let it be as with words of God. If anyone ministers, let it be as from the strength that God furnishes, that in all things God may be honored through Jesus Christ our Lord. Please stand for the gospel. The Holy Gospel for this Sunday is taken from Gospel of St. John, chapter 15, verses 26 to 27, and chapter 16, verses 1 to 4. At that time, Jesus said to his disciples, "But when the Advocate has come, whom I will send you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness concerning me. And you also will bear witness, because from the beginning you are with me. These things I have spoken to you, that you may not be scandalized. They will expel you from the synagogues. Yes, the hour is coming for everyone who kills you to think he is offering worship to God. And these things they will do because they have not known the Father nor me. But these things I have spoken to you, that when the time for them has come, you may remember that I told you." Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Before we start, we want to remind you that even though most of you receive Holy Communion very nicely, some of you are still not putting your tongues out. Some of you still do not open your mouth. You might look in the mirror and see that even though you think you're putting your tongue out, it's not leaving your mouth. So, today, our Holy Father, the Pope, the first Pope, St. Peter, wrote this epistle to you and me to instruct us some very important things. First of all, he says, "Dearly beloved," and of course this comes from the Holy Ghost also. So he says, "Dearly beloved," this is just reminding us that we are loved greatly, you and I, by not only him, but the Holy Ghost, God, Blessed Trinity, loves us, and he wants us to remember that. And then he tells us to be prudent. And what does he say is the most important, the best way to be prudent? To pray. That's what our Holy Father, the Pope, tells us. The best, most prudent thing you could possibly ever do is to pray. Always pray. It's the answer to all questions, solution to all problems. Even though sometimes there are other actions that are required, you can pray while you do them. We have to eat and drink and breathe and many other things. But if there's ever a question of what to do, always pray first. It is always effective. He says that this is the most prudent thing to do because its importance cannot be overstated. If we do not pray, we will be condemned. There is no question, no possibility of us being saved unless we are praying. And all good things come from prayer. Everything. There isn't one good thing that has ever happened to you that is not the result of prayer. Not one. And our prayers are always answered. Prayers are always effective. Now you know, of course, that you can pray for riches and fame and all things, worldly things. You can pray for those things. And those things undoubtedly will not be given to you. Because that's not what our Lord and Savior meant when he said, "Whatever you ask in my name will be given to you." He wasn't talking about things like this. He's talking about everything that's going to be good for you will be given to you. You can't pray for something bad. And if we're praying for something that's going to be bad for us, we don't want God to give it to us, do we? So that's not what that means. But even when you pray for things that God does not want you to have, because they're bad for you, your prayers will still be answered. It's just that he will give you something better than that. So all prayers are always answered. And usually much more abundantly than we request, than we deserve. And then St. Peter says to us that we should have a constant mutual affection. By the way, he also says, watch in prayer. And by that, he means be awake. Be attentive to your prayers. Pay attention to what you're praying for. Don't be thinking about other things when you're praying. And that word watch also means to be sober. That's what it means. So he says, have a constant mutual affection for each other. That means uninterrupted. Always love your neighbor. Always love each other. Even the people that offend you. Even the ones that offend you the most. Your husband, your wife, your neighbors. People that you are tempted to hate. Love them also uninterruptedly. That's what he says. Constant. That's the word he uses. So practice. And he says that when you do this, you satisfy for the sins of your neighbor, especially the one that you're practicing, the one that you're loving, this person that you're practicing charity towards. You're making up for his sins. When he says charity covers a multitude of sins, he's not speaking primarily of your own. He's talking about the person to whom you're practicing charity. Those are the sins, and especially the sins against you. Person that's offending you right now. Practice charity towards that person. And you're making up for the sins that he's committing against you right now. That's what St. Peter is telling us. Our Lord, and he's paraphrasing the words of Christ. Love your enemies. Do good to those who persecute you right now. Do good to them. Don't hate them. Love them. It's difficult, isn't it? But you make up for their sins. And St. Peter mentions that you should practice hospitality. Now, you should know that in those days, there were no hotels. And so what St. Peter is suggesting, because this is what people did, when there were travelers, they had no place to stay. They needed shelter just like you and I do when we travel. It's difficult sleeping in the rain. And so these people in St. Peter's time would take travelers in. This is true. Total strangers. Take them into their homes. Is this what he's talking about? Now, for us, this would be unheard of. Almost completely unheard of that we would take total strangers into our home. This is, of course, basically what we're talking about with sheltering the homeless. Same idea, isn't it? We don't necessarily have to take them into our own homes to shelter them. So we can practice this work of charity in other ways, in some other way. Paying for a hotel room for them or something like that. But this is what St. Peter is saying to us. He's mentioning one of the 14 works of charity, works of mercy, 14 works, 7 corporal works, 7 spiritual works of mercy. And this is one of them, sheltering the homeless. he has already mentioned to practice mutual love. And he's basically saying one of the other works of mercy, forgive all injuries while they're taking place. So here's another one. Shelter the homeless. This is what St. Peter suggests for all of you. There are 13 other works of charity that you can practice. We hope you practice them. They're not lists in your catechism books for nothing. They are there for a reason. There is another one in your catechism, one of the works of charity, which we would like to mention to you, and that is to visit those who are imprisoned. You ever practiced that one? For many, many years, prisoners from around the country have been writing to us, asking for charity, asking that we send them things, our calendars, our catechisms, many other things, and we always send them to them. It's been going on since the beginning. About 8 years ago, a prisoner wrote to us. His name was Martin, and he asked that we send him some things, and he writes to us regularly. He's a friend of ours. He prays for us. And these last week or so, when we visited our family and some family in California, we went to visit Martin. He's been in prison now for 11 years. He's only had a couple of people in 11 years visit him. Just a few. We cannot tell you how happy he was to have us visit him. He will be there for about another 40 years. We recommend this work of mercy for you. We realize in telling you about our work of mercy that we will lose some of our reward because you're not supposed to spread the news of your good works. But we wanted to tell you about it to encourage you practice the works of mercy. It's a beautiful thing. We hope you are saying your novena during these 9 days. On First Friday, our Father Superior recommended a couple of prayer intentions to all of us, to pray for Holy Mother of the Church and to pray for our country. They are both on the rocks, aren't they? Appear to be nearing their end. We know, of course, that our church will last until the end of time. It's unlikely our country will last until the end of time. But in any case, we all have an obligation to pray for both our church and our country, don't we? To love them, to pray for them, despite all of their problems. Something else we would recommend that you pray for, and that is an increase of the gifts of the Holy Ghost. Gifts of the Holy Ghost are very important for all of us. These or gifts from God, which normally the saints use. The saints are given in abundance. That's how they became saints, through the gifts of the Holy Ghost. And because they had the gifts of the Holy Ghost, and they are not absolutely necessary for salvation, they are, you might say, icing on the cake, but they are very important. You might think that us recommending the increase of the prayers for the increase in the gifts is asking for something that you don't absolutely need. But you see, the gifts are very important. It's not as if we are asking for something that's not important to us. We will give you an example. Traditionally, of course, the gifts of the Holy Ghost, as opposed to what most of us practice most of the time, the virtues. Traditionally, it is compared to the virtues are like a boat in which we are using the oars to make our way. So it's very slow and arduous work, virtues. Not easy, is it, our road to heaven? And the gifts are compared to a sailboat which is being carried by the wind, because God sort of picks us up and carries us himself. And a practical example of it would be that everyone here undoubtedly believes in the real presence of Christ in the Blessed Sacrament, because we have been given the virtue of faith, haven't we? And so we believe that he is present, body, blood, soul, divinity, whole and entire. And yet, it doesn't affect us very much, does it? We often forget that he is here. But if we have the gift of understanding in a very high degree, then it is like no one else is here. That's what the gift does for us, of understanding. Instead of being a little light in the candle, tabernacle is like the sun for a saint. It's not conscious of anything else, basically. Not conscious of anyone else in the room. Just his God. That's the difference between the virtues and the gifts. And this is why we recommend that you pray for an increase in the gifts of the Holy Ghost. God can give us all an increase in the gifts, and he will. This is something that we need. We don't absolutely need it. You can see how important it is for us, can't you? And so if you pray for this, then you will certainly receive it. Not something else, but that's what you will receive. An increase in the gifts. And God can give it to us whenever he wants. He gave it to the saints. He can raise great sinners like you and me up to be saints, can't he? Saint Mary Magdalene was one of the greatest sinners, and she became one of the greatest saints ever because of the gifts of the Holy Ghost. Saint Augustine, great sinner, came one of the greatest saints. God can do that for us, and he can do it just like that. Look at the good thief. He was crucified next to Christ. Within a couple of hours, he was made a great saint. God can do that for us. Prayers are answered, brethren. All of our prayers are answered. Now, we have a few minutes left, and so we will give you some examples of prayers that were answered, just to help you believe. The year was 1604, and these two young men, instead of studying, because they were going to school, they decided to go out and have a night on the town. And so they were drinking, and they were visiting a house of ill repute, a brothel. And one of them, Richard by name, decided he had had enough, and so he went home. And as he was getting undressed to go to bed, he remembered that he had to say his Hail Marys that he promised to say. And so he knelt down and said his prayers. And then he passed out. And he had a dream. And in his dream, his classmate appeared to him and said, "My body lies outside the house we were visiting, and I was strangled to death, and I am now in hell. And you were saved because of your Hail Marys." And the second story we will tell you is about three men who lived in Constantinople many years before that. And they were ministers to the emperor, meaning they were government officials. And these three men were falsely accused of some crime, maybe embezzlement. And they were condemned to death. And they were in prison together, and the next morning they were to be executed. And so they weren't very sleepy. And they, the three of them, knelt down and prayed. And they prayed to Saint Nicholas, because they had heard that he was very powerful and that he would answer their prayers. And almost as soon as they began to pray, the emperor had a dream. And in his dream, Saint Nicholas appeared to him. And he said, "Are you sure those three ministers of yours have been judged wisely and justly? Be careful." And so the next morning, the emperor awakened and found, through some investigation, that his three ministers were innocent. And he turned them loose. So you see, our prayers are always answered. So remember, brethren, to pray for the intentions that we have been given. And next Sunday, God only knows what great graces you will receive in answer to your prayers. May God bless you.